Hey everyone, it's Kayla. Thank you for tuning in to the Fit Writer podcast. This is actually my first official episode. So, hello, Chaff. I decided that I was just going to start off with talking about my personal experiences in the fitness industry as a certified personal trainer. I am about to tell you the good, the bad, the ugly, the unexpected, everything, just everything. All right, so here we go. I became a certified personal trainer with the National Academy of Sports Medicine in December of 2014. Now, it wasn't all that easy to actually become the trainer, at least for me personally. I am a terrible test taker, and that's how you become a personal trainer, is you study for a test and then you go and take it. So the first test that I took, I actually failed it by 2 questions. So I decided to go ahead and try again. If I had failed it by quite a few questions, then I probably would have reconsidered and figured that personal training was not the career for me. But given the fact that I was nervous and literally 2 questions, I decided to pay to retake the test, and I ended up passing it the second time that I took it. But of course, they wouldn't tell me like what my score was. Like, when you pass the test, they don't actually tell you how many you got wrong. They just tell you that you passed the test. Whereas when you fail the test, they tell you how many questions you got wrong. Didn't make much sense to me, but you know what? I was happy. I got my first personal training job in a gym in January of 2015. The gym was Anytime Fitness. However, the company that I worked with was contracted through the gym, and it was Ultra Body Fitness. To tell you the truth, I didn't make very much money at first. I didn't have very many clients or very many sessions. I was technically not employed by the company or the gym. I was an independent contractor. At that time, I had no idea what an independent contractor was. I figured, cool, this means that I get to make my own schedule, which is only part of it. My very first boss, he was interesting. He didn't really tell me much about the job. He kind of just tossed me in, and it was like a sink or swim situation for me. Thankfully, I swam and I did really well. Unfortunately, I don't think I had a good impression on my first client because I was never told, and plus I don't have a lot of common sense anyways. I was never told to reschedule with her. So I ended up, my boss took that client away from me. Thankfully, I learned from it, and so the second client I got, I rescheduled with them. I ended up trying to find a better personal training job that was a little bit closer to my apartment at the time, because I was just frustrated with how things were going at this job, but I just felt like I needed to get my foot in the door in the industry first, and then just figure it out from there. So I did end up getting another interview at a gym that I actually used to be a member at, and well, now I am a member at it again. but I got an interview there to be a personal trainer, and I ended up being offered the job, but I turned it down because of a few red flags that were sent up, I guess you could say, during the interview. And thankfully, I did reject the job because a lot of changes started happening at the job that I already had. For example, my boss was fired, and I came in, actually, I mean, I did come into work and he was gone, but I just figured that he had something else to do, or I don't know what I thought, but I was pretty used to being on my own at this point and not really talking to my boss, I guess you could say. So I left work for the day after I did my like two sessions or whatever it was. And then all of a sudden the gym manager called me and had told me that my boss had gotten fired and that there was going to be this other guy coming in who used to be the fitness director there, and he's really cool, I'm going to like him, things like that. So to give me to give him my phone number so that way the fitness director could get a hold of me. Anyways, I did end up really liking this new fitness director. We got along really well. He gave me a lot of advice. I learned a lot from him. And the other great thing is that I all of a sudden went from like having five clients to having over 20. I was so busy that week after my ex-boss had gotten fired that I had no idea what to do with myself. It was just one session after another, and I was absolutely loving it. Now, the reason why I got more clients is because we figured out that my now ex-boss had been going through all of the client like consultations like the fitness director is supposed to do, but then keeping the clients for himself. And in this sort of environment, the fitness director does the sales and the pre, you know, fitness evaluation to figure out what trainer would best meet the client's needs. And then he passes the client, so to speak, off to the trainer. So he wasn't doing that, which is why I only had like five clients and was making, you know, $50 a week or whatever I started off with. Other great changes was I was introduced to the concept of the top trainer report within the company, and I actually had something to strive for. I had a goal to reach, and that just made me work that much harder. Not that I wasn't already working hard, but it made me work even harder. So the top trainer report was basically where the trainer had to have a certain amount of clients and then a certain amount, like couldn't exceed a certain amount of no-shows. And I finally made it onto the top trainer report, I think like 2 months after my new boss came along. And when you get onto the top trainer report, you get bonuses. And then if you're on it for 3 consecutive months, you end up getting a raise. So incentive to do your job well. And it worked out wonderfully for me because I ended up capping out my salary. And then lastly, after about, I think it was about a year, the Ultra Body Fitness ended up changing. We became Anytime Fitness employees, and we were actually employed by the gym. We were no longer independent contractors, which changed things a little bit. Like, I was paying my taxes through my paycheck now instead of just paying them myself. So therefore my income changed. I wasn't quite making as much, but in the end it all balanced out. The other change was that now we were dealing with a corporate office and we had to do what they wanted us to do. At first it wasn't so bad, but then right before we moved, I ended up having to do like small group sessions, and I don't really like to train small groups that much. So it was challenging for me to say the least. And I know a lot of my clients from who had like the regular sessions were a bit annoyed because eventually after I left, they stopped with the regular sessions and just went to like small group sessions, if I remember correctly. So it was a little bit different. It had its pros and cons, but in the end, I think it worked out for the better. In 2017, my husband and I moved to Texas, And that presented a very large challenge for me. We moved to Del Rio, Texas. Del Rio is not known to be health conscious. There isn't much going on there in the fitness community. There's a few small businesses. There were no chain gyms really. So everything was independent contracting work. So I just decided to go ahead and start up my own business. So I became a health coach with Herbalife, and I also independently trained other people around the Air Force base that we lived on. So that was a lot of fun. I actually really enjoyed that. I had one Del Rio local as a client as well, and thankfully the owner of one of the local gyms allowed us to train there because she knew him personally. So he just basically said, you know, this is a favor, please don't bring in any of your other clients. And obviously that was good enough for me because I was able to train her there free of charge. I also ended up working as a spin instructor, but that did not really go so well. At first it was fun, and I'm not really sure what happened. It was a small family-owned business, and they were just kind of doing some shady things to me and not being very honest with me. And so I just decided that it was in my best interest to put in my notice. Now, I absolutely love being a personal trainer, don't get me wrong, but even in jobs that we all love, we still have things that we don't like, am I right? So most of the things that I did not like to do with personal training was actually with some clientele. I had clients that would no-show me, or they would show up late to their session. And the sessions were 30 minutes anyway, so it's already a short session. So for them to show up 5 minutes late, it's an even shorter session. So that got really frustrating. And I would honestly just try to tell people, like, hey, please, please, please try to be on time because my time is valuable and I could have booked somebody else who would have been on time. Another thing that was really annoying was when a client would show no progress whatsoever. This is annoying because it shows that the client is obviously not doing what you're telling them to do, or they might have an undiagnosed medical condition that I obviously cannot diagnose, but for the most part, or most of the time, they just weren't doing what I was telling them to. A lot of people, for some reason, they hire a trainer and they think that the act alone of hiring a trainer will help them reach their goals, and that's not the case at all. The trainer is a tool for you to reach your goals, but you need to work hard the entire time, both in your sessions and out of your sessions. And really, I mean, unless your trainer is trying to sell you some like keto coffee or something, like, you should trust your trainer. If it seems a little far-fetched, then don't, obviously, like, maybe find a second opinion. But when your trainer tells you that you should be working out at least 3 times a week, don't only work out 1 time a week, which is during your session with them. And then lastly, I did have a lot of not so much rude clients. I mean, sometimes I would get people that got a little snooty, but there I had plenty, not plenty, okay, I say it like there was a big amount, but there shouldn't be any amount of clients that I had to deal with this from, and that is being sexually harassed. I get it. I am a small female and I weight train, which means that I have toned muscles and that's fine. However, I have had clients make comments about my body. They've made comments about my husband and I's activities in the bedroom, just things like that. And it's not okay to talk to your trainer about that. And trainers should not be talking to their clients about it. That is one of the topics that is strictly off limits. I have so many things that I love about being a personal trainer, but I think first and foremost is the relationships that I develop with my clients. It's a very personal thing for a client to allow their personal trainer into their workout space, because working out, like, people feel very vulnerable. They feel like people are watching them. They feel like they're being judged. They feel like they're self-conscious. And so when the client allows the trainer to educate them and really get to know, like, their reason for working out or wanting to lose weight or, you know, wanting to live healthy, you just really develop that personal relationship with people. And it gets to the, like, it's mutual. It gets to the point where, you know, the client can ask the trainer for advice and, you know, tell them personal things about their life. But I was also able to learn a lot from my clients too. I trained a lot of older people. Some people I trained reminded me of various family members, like my grandmother, my mom, my dad, like things like that. And so you really just develop those close relationships and you really value them. My other favorite thing is making an impact on people's lives. I did not realize when I became a personal trainer just how much I would do for people. I just figured, yeah, I'm gonna show some people how to squat and teach them, you know, the proper running form or something like that. I didn't realize that some people I was helping save their life. Like, I had one client who was told that he probably wouldn't have much longer to live if he didn't change up his lifestyle, and he was already on various medications for blood pressure and things like that. Like, he was almost a diabetic or like pre-diabetic, just like a very, very bad host of things was going on with him. And he turned it around. He hired a trainer, which was me, and got a registered dietitian, followed their nutrition plan, followed my workout plan for him, and he actually got off of all of the medications. I'm not saying that this will happen to everybody who hires a personal trainer, but it is amazing to be a part of something like that. And I have a couple of different stories like that. So it's very empowering and it is very, like, humbling also. And then lastly, I really love to educate people, whether it's my clients or my readers or my listeners. I absolutely love to teach people, because every once in a while I'll get a comment that says something like I was an inspiration to them, or a certain blog post has changed, you know, something about their lifestyle, and it's a great feeling to know that I did that. So if anyone out there wants to be a personal trainer, here is my advice for you. First and foremost, your education is very important, and which program you choose to go with could make or break you as far as getting a job. Nobody can see your test scores, but there are some programs that are not nationally recognized or accredited, anything like that. So I always swear by the National Academy of Sports Medicine, which is NASM. They're a little bit more pricey, but almost every single gym I have come across will hire an NASM certified personal trainer. Other programs that I recommend is ACE, which I believe is the American Council on Exercise, and ISSA, forgive me, I don't know what that stands for, is another common one that I've seen, but I just recommend doing your research and going with something that is nationally recognized and accredited. Don't expect to make very much money at first. If you are in this career to make money, you are going to be very disappointed, and you also probably shouldn't really be a personal trainer if you're only doing it for the money. You need to be prepared to deal with all different types of people and all different types of conditions and things that might limit people to, you know, do certain workouts or they can't do certain workouts. I thought that when I was reading like my special populations chapter, I was like, yeah, right. I'm not going to work with hardly anyone who has a limitation. Well, actually, almost everyone I worked with had some sort of limitation. The most common that I dealt with were like back issues, like scoliosis and things up that alley. I also dealt with high blood pressure and vertigo were some pretty common ones as well. So just pay attention to that, be prepared, but don't act like you're their doctor. You need to listen to them and be familiar with the condition that they have. And if you're not familiar with it, then you need to become familiar with it. And last of all, invest in your career. That is like the number one most important piece of advice that I can give you. You need to invest. There's so many people who have told me, including my first boss, that nobody cares if you don't do continuing education, things like that. The truth is that they care, and it looks bad if you've been a personal trainer for a certain amount of time and you haven't done any sort of continuing education, whether that is getting specialized in something, attending a seminar, just anything. And honestly, at least with NASM, we are required to get a certain amount of continuing education units, I think is what it's called. The acronym for it is CEUs, but you're required to get a certain amount of it in order for you to recertify every 2 years, which is why I'm specialized in two different things. And I've also been to a personal training conference. So investing, I know it costs a lot of money, but in the long run, if you plan to make this a long-term career, it is so worth it. Because when somebody, for example, for me, when someone looks at my resume and sees that alphabet soup next to my name, if they know what it means, then it will probably put me higher up on their hire list that were versus someone who just has the certified personal training certificate. Thank you so much for listening to my first official episode of the Fit Rider podcast. I hope that maybe if you're wanting to get into the personal training career field, this was helpful for you, or maybe it just gave you some insight into what I have gone through the last, 4 years, did I say? Like, however many years it's been since I got my certification. It has been a wonderful job, and I just love it. I love what I do. And if you're looking into being a certified personal trainer and you're doing it for the right reasons, then I can guarantee that you will love it too. Thank you so much for listening to my podcast. You can find me at thefitwriter.blog. And you can subscribe to my post there, my written posts. I try to post 3 times a week. I post about my personal life, fitness, mental health, travel, reviews, and I also post workouts. You can also find me on Instagram. I am at the.fit.writer. Thank you so much. See you next time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.